Good afternoon to all our podcast listeners, and we welcome you. Today we are continuing in the book of Revelation. Today's study, Revelation chapter 9. I want to preference this, that there will be a bit of geographical study here and historical studies to help us understand what is going on in this time period. So bear with us, and because it gets a little historic here, and so we're gonna get started. Revelation 9, and I will read verses. I'm sorry, well, I always say chapters. Verses 1-2. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Okay, so now here we are, the fifth trumpet. Many Christian, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right, but it's a tongue twister for me. Expositors, okay, those are people who study the word and who come with learned principle theory of what they believe is the revelation of the word of God. So we all know Martin Luther King, the reformer, right? And if many of you are not familiar with Sir Isaac, I beg your pardon?
You said Martin Luther?
Martin Luther, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there was Sir Isaac Newton, the famous scientist and historian. Edward Gibbon, all of them have seen, all of them from the scientist and Martin Luther King, the reformer, who was a preacher and a man of God, and Edward Gibbon, who was like a Christian, but he was more so a historian, scientist, okay? So you got three different frames of references coming here, but all of them have seen in the fifth and sixth trumpets the rise and progress of Islam. All of them saw Islam coming. From reading the fifth, reading what resulted from the fifth and sixth trumpets. So this will make you want to go back and look at the fifth and sixth trumpets, because here we're getting ready to get, they begin to see the rise of Islam. In view of the tremendous military, religious, economic, and cultural impact, Islam has been on the Christian world in nearly 1,400 years since its rise in 600s. They have rose militarily, they have rose economically, and the cultural impact, what we mean by that is how they have infused their religions into culture, more so by demand, okay? It's not by voluntary, it's mostly by demand. And when your family accepts Islam as their faith, everybody born is Islamic. It ain't no ands, ifs, and buts about it. You don't have a choice. You are Muslim. So Islam, which we all know is the religion of the followers of Muhammad, originated around AD 612. That's how far back Islam goes. As we've seen before, a star represents a leader. We saw the symbolic of a star in previous chapters, and we see that star. I am the bright morning star, Jesus. Other symbolic uses of the star also. So it represents a leader. Now, the bottomless pit that we always, the bottomless pit comes from the Greek word abusos, It comes from the Greek word abusos, where we get our word abyss. And it means a desolate, empty place, similar to the word void, V-O-I-D. A void place is nothing, it's empty, there's nothing existed. It's just this void. So can we get someone in to turn to Genesis 1-2 quickly? Genesis 1-2 and read that for us. Sister, turn in your Bible tonight. You're going to read that when we come to it.
I left my Bible.
Oh, I told you, don't come without your Bible. Here you go. I got the cover. Don't worry about it.
The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
Okay, so the earth, what word did we just use as to describe the bottomless pit?
Void.
What word?
Void.
Void. Void, you see? So it was void. So now this star, or this great leader of this time that we're talking about, now I want you to get this star right here. This star, great leader, was Muhammad during this time. Was Muhammad. You're going to see, because we talk about the smoke and the pit, this all revolves around the darkness, okay? So Muhammad was the founder of Islam, as we said, and we identified the bottomless pit as to a vast desolate wasteland. Okay, so the bottomless pit in this time, right here, hold tight to it. The bottom of the pit during this time applies here to the vast, desolate wasteland of the present-day Saudi Arabia. So there was nothing there, okay? From which the smoke, the rise of Islam. Okay? It was desolate. It was dark. And the smoke came. The rise of the religion of Islam issued forth, darkening the light of Christ and Christianity in all the lands that came under their control.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So anybody got comments on that? Thoughts? So you see how we have to understand what was going on in that time when we hear, when the scriptures say pit, void, darkness. Now we see what it's referring to. I mean, because personally, I just thought, well, that's the pit he's going to go to. But the pit in this point, this period of time, is talking about the abyss. That was nothing there. There was nothing there. And here comes Islam.
And we see the rise of Islam.
Yes,
again.
Right. And Saudi Arabia today is the home, is all Islam.
Mecca.
Yes, that's where the Mecca is. So can we get a reader for verses 3 to 7?
Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Mm-hmm. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Is that it?
Seven. Go over to seven.
In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them.
Seven.
The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men.
Mm. Now, before I even, I know, that's, come on, Bobby. I
was blessed with Claudia. She said, one of the things, when we look at these verses,
yes.
Here, if you look at them close, they were really sent to just to torment you, and, you know, inflict pain upon mankind. But the good thing about this, we would not be there. We will not be there. Okay? Understand that first and foremost, we ain't there. Okay. We're in the heavens. We have already been raptured up. We ain't there. Okay? These are the unbelievers. Okay? Then, the she was talking about there. Men will try to commit suicide. It ain't going to happen.
They can't do it.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. They were, you will be, I say you, but when I say you, don't take that pronoun literally, but they will be inflicted with pain, and there will be no cure for the pain. But there will be no cure for the pain. There's nothing there. Just a total devastation for 5 months. You look at that.
Okay.
Now, you know, over in 8, in chapter 8, it was talking about burning up the green grass.
Okay, don't go there yet. I'm sorry. Yeah, burning up the green grass.
But
I'm sorry.
Here it said, do not hurt the grass.
Right.
But you said last week that the green grass was people.
Right, and we're going to get to that.
Oh, okay. I was just trying to get some clarification between burning up the green grass and not over here.
Okay.
It said, don't burn the green.
That's why we got to get it. We got to dig it.
That was just my observation.
That's a good point of reference. Anyone else, Brother James?
That's what she was saying to me, verse 4. Ties those two together. It says, and they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or tree, but only those men.
That's the key.
That didn't have the seal.
So is that the green that was burned up, the ones who did not have the seal of God?
Those that were burnt did not have the seal. But now we're getting to those who have the seal.
Okay, those who have the seal, are they the remnants that was left on earth? Because Bobby said that we wouldn't be here. So who are these people that have the seal that did not get burned up?
The seal are those who accept Christ.
During the
tribulation.
Yes.
So they won't be burned.
No. But see, what we're talking about is what happened then, and what will transpire in the future. The similarities will be there. But this is to tell you, you see what happened? Just gonna happen. Okay, it's coming. Anyone who has not accepted Jesus Christ will not enter into the kingdom.
Correct.
Okay, that's just that simple. So if you don't, some translations say the seal in the head, and some say on the head. But it doesn't matter. It's the seal. It's the seal, but the seal is in their heart, not in their forehead, literally. It's in their heart.
And you know, I was thinking, even though they accepted Christ during the tribulation, they still are going to experience some consequences.
Yes.
Okay. So long.
Yes, absolutely.
So but those, they, that's the green grass.
Yes, but they will, you know, they will have the grace to maintain. Let me say this. You just brought out something, Rose, about, and it was right on my head, and I lost it. But I lost it. I hope I could get back to it. There's so much in here that, this is good, because we need to get the understanding of this. Now, what I'm going to give you may help clarify a little more. Okay. Verse 3, out of the smoke comes the locust. When conditions are favorable a swarm of hundreds of millions of locusts may hatch at the same time. So I want y'all to know that before we start talking about it. When the time is for them to reproviate and little eggs, they hatch in the millions. You know, they're not like one little egg, two little eggs. I don't know how many one mother may do, but they hatch, and they hatch at the same time. Now, locusts, after exhausting the food supply, they spread out, grabbing up nearly every green plant in their path, and leaving destruction and famine behind them. By the time of his death, in 632 AD, Muhammad had united the Arabian Peninsula. So now we're talking about 630. We're saying that Muhammad, the religion of started in 612, and the 632, that's a short period of time for them to do all the work they did. 20 years. Yeah, they were moving. That's how fast they were. Just going through everything, wiping out everything to take over. Okay? So, they united the Arabian Peninsula under Islam. Over the next 100 years, the Muslim tide spread in a raging flood against the earth until the year 732, when they were narrowly defeated at the Battle of Tours in France. Now, this victory, the Battle of the Tours, saved Western Europe from conversion to Islam. So this is where, you know, and I cannot answer why, how this happened. It's all in the Lord's plan. But this battle, this one battle in France, in the Tours of France, saved the Western Europe from being converted to Islam. Now in verse 4-7, now in these verses, the trees and grasses are here set as opposites the men which not have the seal of God. So they're the ones who reject it.
Okay.
In other words, the trees and grass represent the many groups of Christian who still Now in these verses, trees and glasses are here set as opposite the men which have not set the seal. The opposite. They accepted Christ. That's what I meant to say. They are the opposite. They are the trees and grass who accepted Christ. Okay? The opposite. If I didn't accept Christ and you did, what am I? You're the opposite of me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I wanted to, I needed to clear that up because I didn't present that clear enough. You get that now?
Yeah.
Okay, now, in other words, trees and grass in this time represent the many groups of Christian who still preserve the true biblical faith of early Christianity. So these are the as Pastor Walker would call, the awakened ones.
Okay.
The locusts was not to hurt these pure commandment people, people whose faith was in God. The locust was not here for them.
Right.
Okay, the Islamic conquerors did not destroy properly, wantonly, or to kill Christians and Jews so long as they agreed to pay tribute. So, as long as the Jews and the Christians decided that, well, agreed to pay tribute and so forth, they weren't harmed. They did, this is the Muslims, they did, however, relentlessly attack the remainder of the Roman Empire centered in Constantinople, at whom this judgment is directed. Now the locust is given power to torment, like you said, Bob, to torment like the sting of a scorpion for 5 months. That's a long time, or 150 literal years. That's how long, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Has anybody ever been stung by a scorpion?
I haven't, but I've known people who have, and they said it's a very,
very
painful
thing to go through.
Yeah. I've, I,
So can you imagine 5 months of that?
5 months of that.
I can't imagine.
Well, I think it's longer than the 5 months.
Yeah, well, 5 months.
It's 5 months, or literally 150 years.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Starting in 1299 at the Battle of Bathoum, when the Turkish Muslims, see now, bear in mind, all this time that these Muslims, when they were moving all over the Middle East. So, you know, you're talking about Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, Turkey, all. Yeah, right. So,
Egypt.
Yeah. So, so in 1229 at the Battle of Bathoum, when the Turkish Muslims began a persistent assault on the Eastern Roman Empire. This gets really interesting now. Here. So in 1449, after 150 years of conflict, the Eastern Roman Empire, also called the Byzantine, you hear it often as the Byzantine or the Eastern Roman Empire. I think today we refer to it more as the Byzantine Empire. So the Byzantine Empire became a vassal state. A vassal state is whenever something becomes vassal, it becomes subordinate to something. So the Byzantine Empire became a vassal state subordinate to the Ottoman. I see this is what I tell you, we're getting ready to go into history. The Ottoman Empire. At that time, Constantine the VII, he needed permission and backing of the Ottoman Empire to outmaneuver the other claimants. That would be anybody in the Ottoman family, in the Ottoman rulership, any claimant that had would be able to have the title or the right to the throne. So this is what Constantine VII did. He just made sure he became the right of the throne so that he could become emperor. And during this time, the Byzantine Empire was tormented by the Ottoman, but was not yet destroyed. I know it's a little lot there, you know. But see, it's telling us now you could get a better picture of what's happening today over there. See, this didn't just start with in our little lifetime, you know, when Israel became an independent. A nation in 48, right. This was way back. This is way back. So when we think about, you know, at least I say this, when I thought about, you know, Christ and when he was on the earth, I'm like focusing on Jerusalem and Galilee and all that, but there was stuff going on all around the world, you know, but when he was walking and before he came, you know. So I know that was a lot I gave you, but I hope, you know, it gives you an understanding. There was a whole lot of stuff going on, and Islam was moving. They were relentless. When you hear the word relentless, they cut off heads, anything else. It wasn't no, well, you come to Islam and you will have seven virgins and you will live in paradise. No, you don't come to Islam, chop off your head. Mm-hmm. You know, and they take your wives and daughters and bring them into slavery or whatever, their concubines. And they had them, they don't want to let you know that, but they did.
You know, one of the things that you mentioned, I had read up on the Ottoman for quite some time, but Constantine, one of the things that was going on with him was really during the time of the Roman Empire. He was sort of like in the middle of the road, trying to have it both ways with Catholicism. Mm-hmm. This is where the Seventh Adventists get the fact that they are to worship only on Saturday from Constantine, because this is what the Jewish Sabbath was on, a Saturday. That's not disputed about that, but when you look at the New Testament, read the New Testament there, who are you? You couldn't keep up with the laws, as Paul would say, and paraphrased in Galatians there. So don't try to hold someone to something that you couldn't do, but the Seventh Adventists, they hold the fact that Constantine said this and they're supposed to worship on Saturday and Saturday alone, only because the Sabbath really on Saturday. And that's why I say Constantine tried to have it both ways. You know, he couldn't do it that way.
Yeah. Well, he was, and you know,
and one other point, you know, when you said there's a lot going on, there really is a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And my final example, and I'll zip it just a minute, just to share with you in a sense as to what some of the things that a whole lot is going on. A lot of things had to be fulfilled when you look at the opening of the New Testament with Matthew's, the genealogy of the 42 generations. Then you can look at, I think it's chapter 3 of Luke, with the generations in reverse there. And then you look at John's gospel. John doesn't even come up with the generation because it's really inappropriate, because John starts out in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing in the beginning other than God. So he said, in the beginning was God. You go back to Genesis, in the beginning God. Now the one that I really like is Mark's gospel. Mark goes straight to the point. John Mark was one of the guys, he cut out the chase. He went straight to the point. And a lot what John Mark didn't cover, see, had already been fulfilled. Once John the Baptist come on the scene and was doing the baptizing, all this other stuff had already happened. Everything had been fulfilled already. So John gets straight to the point with Jesus' ministry.
Thoughts before we move on.
So a lot was going on, as you said.
Yeah, and which, you know, you just... kind of like painted where I was trying to go with my thoughts about just limiting, you know, where. But I want to say that the book of Matthew is very important with the genealogy. Matthew was a Jew, and his book was written all in Judaism in terms of tradition and practices and religion, even though he had come to receive Yeshua as Messiah. But each one of those books are important the way they're written. And so that's why when Brother Bobby pointed out the four, at least, primary distinctions, you can see why it's important, because each book brings to you understanding of God, His Son, and humanity, His plan for humanity. Okay, can we get a reader for 11 and 12? Verses 11 and 12.
And they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon.
Yes.
But in Greek, he has the name Apollon. Mm-hmm. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things.
Okay. Now, last week I gave you the handout on the two woes. So these are the two woes we're talking about, but the Greek and Hebrew names, Abaddon and Apollon, mean destroyer. That's what it means in English, destroyer. Yes. So okay. Now we need a reader for 13 and 14. Let me get someone to do 13 and 14.
Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates.
Okay. Read 14 again for us, Sister.
Saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates.
Okay. The sixth trumpet.
Can I
press? Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
It said the four angels who are bound.
Well, you're reading and you're trying to make sense out. You got to unpack it first.
Oh, okay.
That's what we're trying to do. Because if you don't read it and unpack it you know, that's why we got the Bible study. Because I couldn't do it either like that. Okay. All right. Let's look at this.
I was going to say for her, you know, Satan was an angel too.
Right.
Okay.
The sixth trumpet, the second woe. The four angels mentioned in Revelation 7:1, if you look back. Remember we talked about the four angels in 7:1. Mm-hmm. They had worldwide power to restrain the winds. In contrast to the present four angels who appear to be localized. Okay? These four angels are right here where we are. These can be viewed as the four sultans. See, this is why the Bible is very, very, see, those angels were angels of God who were given, but the Lord restrained them until the time come of the seal and all that, right? Remember that. Go back and read 7. They were the angels of God. Now we're talking about four angels, sultans. Well, okay. Like Brother James said, Satan comes as an angel, and all his little minions are little sub-angels, okay?
Always little what?
Sub-minions. Sub-minions. Sub-minions are sub-angels. We call them demons. So I could just, and you know, here we're just doing it real. This is a polite Bible study. Me, I say, here come the four hell thing, you know, demons. So, but here it is. See, these four who appear to be localized. See, this is where I'm talking about, where we're getting ready to get really into the history of the world right now, and becoming more centralized. These can be viewed as the four sultans. And we know what a sultan is. He's a high ruler in an Islamic country. Okay, and the four sultans of the Turkish Ottoman. Their names were Aleppo, Iconium, Damascus, and Baghdad. Now, see.
Oh, so those four angels represented.
That's it.
Was a representation of
the four
countries.
Yes. So. And Baghdad or are defined as, here's better for you, four destructive forces. Mm. Okay, so so if you get confused with angels of what God has assigned the work to do, then here they are. These are the four destructive forces. These are the angels of Satan. Four destructive, and you have to hold on. Don't frown. We're gonna get there. These four destructive forces, they moved against the Western world. The Western world was fighting for Christianity. These four forces were coming in against Christianity, against the true and living God. The four angels restrained from their work of judgment, the four that we talked about in 7, until the sixth angel sounds his trumpet. So see, you see what I'm saying? You know, you saw angels, and I knew what you were saying, but I wanted you to hear and wait and see. That's why it's so important to understand, because I know when I first, you know, I'm not even going to tell you how confused I was, but it's very important because now we see that we fight not against blood, flesh and blood, but about prince. Satan is first phase of steroids now. You know, and he full four throttle now. But he was on, you know, he was on steroids. Now, keep in mind, the Byzantine Empire had been holding the Muslims in check. The Byzantine Empire, again, that's the Ottoman, okay? Been holding the Muslims in check now that they no longer a threat. The Ottoman Empire turned its attention to the papal. Who knows what the papal is? Whose thoughts are the papal?
The Catholic priest.
That's it. The papal, the Roman Catholic Church, which
the papal.
See, you could say papal. The Europeans call it papal. In Italy they do. In northern Italy, that's where I heard it first, and I heard it, and I just say it all the time. But it's either, you know, like either, but you're right.
Well, I'm just
the way we pronounce it here.
When the people be talking about the Pope.
Yeah, the papal. Yeah. All right, we'll call it the papal.
No, call it what you
want. But let's call it right. Let's call it what we all understand. So we get it.
Yeah.
So which we all know it's the Roman Catholic Church, okay?
Yes.
All right, so we got that. Which dominated Europe. And this was the target of the trumpet's judgment. The Islamic wars played a key role in helping Protestantism thrive by forcing attention on the papal. Persecuting the papal long enough, listen to this, they persecuted the papal long enough to help Christianity to become established. Now I want to get your thoughts on, they held the Catholic Church, you know, long enough for Christianity. So anybody got any thoughts on that right there? Yes, sir.
Well, the Catholic Church was instrumental in going, they were the leaders in fighting against the Muslims. And history, the way it comes out, both of them were, while the Crusaders was just as ruthless as the Moors were.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now, during this particular time, you're not hearing that much about the advancement of Christianity, because these are the major players
mm-hmm.
in this fight. So what you just said, okay, said the Ottomans come in and interrupt this, because eventually the Moors and the Crusaders, their thing just kind of fizzled mm-hmm. out there, like you said, after the Moors got up into Europe a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the meantime, I guess, the Christendom who was inching on along. They were growing.
Mm-hmm. Y'all just brought some really juicy stuff out. Because no matter how bad it looks, God is still bringing his people and his word through.
Amen.
Like you said, Brother James, you know, Christian was like umping along, uh-huh. but it was umping and growing. And we know, I just use this analogy. When you are look like you're sick and you just don't have any strength, but when you start getting better, you start slowly getting better, mm-hmm. slowly till you get, you know, you get up to full force. Mm-hmm. And this is what we see in here. You know, God said, listen, I am God.
Yeah.
Y'all can have, you know, I'm going to let you, you know, but I'm going to show you who I am.
Right.
I was going to say, too, right after the Moors and the Catholics had their big thing, okay, then religion started breaking up. England started a church. And not too long after that, you start hearing about Martin Luther
mm-hmm.
up in Germany mm-hmm. with his he broke off from the Catholic
mm-hmm.
thing. And this was a big boost for Christianity.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So while they were butting heads, the Christians were coming on up.
Well, actually,
the Catholic faith, like Minister Portia said, was so ruthless. They were almost like the Muslims. If you didn't follow the Catholic faith,
exactly.
You know, they would kill you, cut you off.
Yeah.
Well, the Catholic Church was very political. Their pattern of immersion followed very similar to the Muslims, economically, right. politically, socially, mm-hmm. and everything. And in Europe, when the papal was in dominance, it was all political, economic. It wasn't about no religion.
It was about power.
It was about power. So we have now the time set forth here, 391 years and 15 days, which indicated the time remaining for the Ottoman Empire to do its work. So in other words, 391, 15 days indicated the time remaining for the Ottoman Empire to do its work. From the end of the fifth trumpet in 1449, okay, here you are, numbers cruncher. 391 years extends to 1840. I know you did it in your head already. All right, I'm gonna let you bring that back. I did it, but I'm not. I'm gonna let you bring that back. So now that the year the Ottoman Empire could no longer protect itself. Here we go now. And accepted. So when the Ottomans were getting weak, they couldn't protect themselves. They accepted the protection of four European nations, effectively ceasing as an independent power. That's the Ottoman. Now the four independent nations: Greece, British, French, and Italians.
The Habsburgs.
Yeah, the Habsburgs. Mm-hmm. The Ottoman Empire today is known, we all know, as modern-day Turkey. Yeah. So.
And isn't it strange that Turkey is in the limelight right now?
Mm-hmm. You know?
That was my question that I was going to ask. Is that applying to now? Because with the United States pulling out of Syria and the president is threatening Russia not to attack Turkey by moving the troops out of Syria. And it was on the news that he is making a statement from Russia not that you better not attack Turkey. After we move out.
Well, one of the things I would add, based upon what Rose didn't say over there, is the fact that a lot of this stuff is happening around the great river Euphrates. And if you go back and look at your mindset in the mirror, you'll come up with the fact that sin first originated there alongside the Euphrates River, not to say, you know, mention the birth as well, but the first murder occurred there, and you know, you had this guy trying to build a whole tower to heaven, Babylon, there as well. So a lot of stuff happened in that area. And so what you mentioned about Turkey and Russia, all of this is east of the Euphrates River. And when you put this in perspective here, these many, many nations that's going to come against Israel is really going to be east of the Euphrates River, but they're also going to be due north, and due north is Russia. You mentioned about attacking Turkey. Turkey really is going to be part of a coalition that's going to be formed to come against Israel in time.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey is going to be part of it.
All of them will.
This stuff also seems like it's tied into Daniel.
Yes.
Yep.
Uh-huh. In fact,
Ezekiel and Daniel go ahead.
If you mention, have we got to 16 yet?
No, I'm getting ready to do 16.
Okay, well, just to preempt a statement on 16, if you go back and look at Daniel 7, I like to say Daniel 7, when Daniel was talking about the armies that will be gathered together. I think Daniel mentioned thousands upon thousands. Mm-hmm. Here, the writer John has mentioned 200,000, which is really 200 million of people. So what John is really saying, don't get hung up on the number. It was so many, it was innumerable. You couldn't number them.
Okay.
So all these nations, like you got China, India, the Muslim, you could
easily
field 200 million plus right there. Easily field. But you got to understand the end time of this stuff. Our God is good. Now, I'm saying that literally. You got to understand God. They're not going to destroy Israel. It's not going to be Israel will not be annihilated.
Well,
it's not going to happen.
11:41 said, and she shall enter the glorious land, that's it. And many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape his hand.
Yes.
Edom, Moab, and Ammon. Okay, and as well as the glorious land, which was Israel. But anyway, and that's in Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel 11.
Well, we just, you know, the 16 says the number of the army, the horsemen were 200,000. I heard the number. So, the number of the army, the horsemen, were just, it says 200,000, and I heard them. In ancient times, this is the thing. In ancient times, the cavalry was the swiftest, most mobile branch of military. So when we see 2,000, it's symbolic of a vast, innumerable count. We can't even, we can't. But hold it there, because when we say, when we're realizing that about the military being the swiftest, this is going to take us into the last few chapters. Somebody read 17 to 19 quickly for us, please. 17 to 19.
And thus I saw the horses in the vision.
Yep.
And them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and adjacent and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as heads of lions,
mm-hmm.
and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouth.
19.
For their power is in their mouth, and their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt.
Mm.
They do hurt.
Mm. Mm. They do hurt. So fire and brimstone are symbols of judgment. And if somebody turned to Genesis 19:24, you'll see it in 19:24. Fire and smoke are symbols of judgment.
Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens.
Okay. Now, the predominant colors of the Turkish uniforms were red, fire, blue, smoke, and yellow, brimstone. Fire and smoke and brimstone. From the horses' mouths refers to the use of gunpowder. And firearms. So, you know, the mouths, from the horses' mouths refers to the use of gunpowder and firearms. You got to use gunpowder to put in firearms, right? And that was introduced at this time. Okay? Heads of lions denotes ferocity and majesty. Their power, the authority, was in their mouths and their tails. Perhaps the Turkish cavalry guns, speed, mobility, and their devious tactics were for which they were widely known.
And like he mentioned a while ago about the Euphrates being the dividing line, and you mentioned about the gunpowder.
Mm-hmm.
Gunpowder came out of the Chinese people, which was tied in with the Turkish folks.
The Chinese introduced them to to the gunpowder.
Right, that's where it came from.
Mm-hmm. See, this, you know, I mean, when we look, if we could really just know all that went on, it would just blow up. We thinking, okay, so maybe World War I or sometime around there, we got some gunpowder. No, this stuff was going on, you know. Nothing is new under the sun.
Nothing new.
And like you mentioned about the bombs and, you know, the rockets, the nuclear bombs and so on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rockets and stuff like that. I hear it out of Germany.
Yeah, Germany, they were.
They was, you know, they're the ones also that brought down the Roman Empire. I mean, from that, they were the Huns.
Yeah, we talked about them.
Yeah
previously, but we didn't really get into it. But the Huns, you know. You know, that's why the Lord knows we need a salvation, because, oh, God, the stuff that we do to each other for centuries and centuries, just ruthless stuff. Oh, and I don't want to get into it. Reader 20 to 21, let's wrap this up.
And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass, and stone and of wood,
which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts.
So, after all these judgments, the rest of the men, which represented not in repentance, God's object in sending these judgments were not only to punish, but also to call the papal, the universal Catholic Church, which dominated Europe, to repentance. The rest of the men are said to worship idols. At this time, the Western Church worshiped images of saints. The men also did no repentance of their murders. The Christians slaughtered for their belief in Bible truth. Their fornication, a symbol of doctrinal impurity, or of their theft, which is usurping of God's authority. That's what theft, usurping of God's authority. So now, when we read, you know, here we now have an understanding what these words represent, and that is very important to get to the meat of this. We went a long way around. We had historians in here, thank God, and we had learned Bible commentators here. So it's good that we have all this knowledge so we can understand and share. And I thank God for it. Are there any thoughts or comments before we end? I know it was a heavy one today. Mm-hmm. But I
would comment on that last section of number 9 about in essence, really two-thirds of the population or two-thirds of the men are still alive. And here it is, they still didn't repent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm still hard-headed, mute-headed, and stubborn. Right. As I would say, you can check D and say all of the above. Mm-hmm. You know, you see, hear what's going on, and you know, I'm just reminded of what Paul wrote in the church at Thessalonica. You know, God's gonna send these delusions to you since you didn't accept the word. I'm gonna send you a delusion. You're gonna think this and think that. See, just gonna harden your heart still. So it's just amazing to me how Jesus. They see this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I ain't gonna do it still.
Well, it's going on today.
Like Pharaoh.
Yeah, it's like kids now. You know, for example, drug addiction.
Yeah.
They know what it does, but they say it will never happen to me. Same thing with HIV, you know, they know the results, but they still do it because they feel they're invincible. Yeah. It can't happen to me.
Deception.
The enemy deceives them into believing that.
I had a friend who fought in the Vietnam War. I missed it. But anyway. And he said that they kind of had a mentality. They know that people are being shot down all around them. But you always think it's the other guy that's going to get shot.
Mm-hmm.
And not you. You're going to be, oh, man, come on, don't. It's always the other guy. And I guess that's the same thing with what you were saying about the people seeing exactly what's happening, but they don't comply to themselves.
And it just goes to show you how long-suffering and merciful our Lord is, because in spite of all that, he's still reaching out to humanity and to the people.
Thank you, Lord.
So they deserve to burn in hell.
Well, we're going to end this session, and we will reconvene, God willing, next Tuesday in chapter 10. And So we'll say goodbye to our podcast listeners and wish you well. And God willing, you'll be with us next week.
But it's off.
Yeah.
You know how to work that thing now.
I think. Okay. Brother Bobby, will you take us out, end us in prayer, please?
And Father God, we just thank you. Thank you, Father, because you just did it again. And we appreciate that, Father. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Most of all, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus the Christ, that you allowed to slumber on Calvary's cross and die for our sin, that we may have a right to life eternal. So, Father God, we thank you and bless you. Father God, we thank you for our facilitator, our Father. Father God, we just thank you that you just fill her afresh, yes, fill her anew, yes, our Father. Yes. Fill her with a new word, our Father, from you, that she can come and disperse to your people. Let us be receptive to what will be said, our Father. Father God, we just thank you. Thank you, we bless you for the ones that are here. Bless families throughout the land. Father God, we pray for the leaders of this great country, our Father, our president, our Father. Yes. Father God, we ask you to touch his heart, touch his mind, our, yes, Father. The leaders in the house and in the Senate, our Father. Touch their mindset, our Father. And those who are not working for the federal government, our Father, that are working without a check, our Father. Yes. Father God, we pray that their needs will be met, our Father. Yes. Nothing they need will not be met, unmet, our Father. So, Father God, we thank you that it's already done. Father God, we pray for our pastor. Continue to lift him up on either side, our Father.
Yes.
Allow him to continue to teach and preach your word in season out of season, our Father, to a dying world, our Father. And let our light so shine as we leave here today that someone may see that your goodness in us, our Father, yes, and say, did their heart so live, our Father. And right now, Father, we ask you to continue to bless us as we give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.